In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Today we're going to take a look at why October 7th, 2015 is the likely end of the world. People are constantly asking now, why October 7th, 2015? And in order to give a proper answer, first of all, we have to understand, or we have to start with May 21, 2011. It's impossible to understand why October 7th, 2015 is such an excellent candidate for the world to end unless we first understand why May 21, 2011 was the beginning of Judgment Day.
That's Chris McCann of E-Bible Fellowship predicting the end of the world today. Now, I suppose there's still daylight left. It could still happen in theory, but all the predictions, especially that one that he made reference to from May in 2011, were predictions of the end of the world that did not come true. Why is it that some Bible teachers simply cannot resist setting a date for the end of the world? Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Ken Samples about a prediction from E-Bible Fellowship that the world would end today. A little bit later, part six of our weekly series on Christian apologetics today, we're going to talk about the counterclaim that there are many ways to God. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. You can join us for the next hour with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the E-Bible Fellowship's prediction that the world would end today, Ken Samples. He's a regular guest, senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, and author of the book Christian Endgame, Careful Thinking About the End Times. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
I'm not talking here about motivations necessarily, but maybe just presuppositions. Why is it that many Bible teachers cannot resist the temptation to set a date for the end of the world or the return of Christ or some other end times event?
That's a great question. I think that I could come up with maybe three reasons. One, I think that they have this tremendous excitement that they are living in these last days. Second, maybe there's the hope that by getting the word out, this is going to be an evangelistic opportunity. But thirdly, and maybe more importantly, there is a deep lack of understanding of hermeneutical principles, looking at apocalyptic literature, and I think a frank unawareness of church history in which we see time and time again people predict dates, and they're always wrong.
This is the stuff I'm thinking in particular in the 18th century. This is the stuff of what became some cults here, end times predictions that failed to pan out, isn't it?
It's amazing, Todd, in looking at these particular dates, not only the May 21st date, but the October date, this takes us back to the Millerite movement of the 19th century. William Miller was a New England Baptist minister, and he made several dates. I think one of his early dates was May, and then he ended up with an October date. And then out of that mistake, it says during the Millerite movement, it said the day came, but the Lord didn't. And this great disappointment then birthed what would become primitive Seventh-day Adventism. And they said that this was the beginning. Miller missed it because This begins the investigative judgment. So I am amazed how similar you have the Millerites, the Harold Camping, and now this particular thing. And, I mean, wouldn't you ask the question, well, look, I have the same dates or similar reasoning to Miller and Camping, and they were both wrong, but you're going to go ahead and predict another date based on similar reasoning? You know, I think Christians should speak out very strongly about these things because, Todd, I work in the area of apologetics, and skeptics and atheists, they love this stuff. They think, look, another false prediction, Christianity is false, and it's perpetrated by people who are not careful thinkers.
They tend to, and this is perhaps what you're getting at there, Ken, they tend to see something like Chris McCann of eBible Fellowship, or you mentioned Harold Camping before he died, making multiple failed predictions, and they simply, and sometimes naively assume that everyone who calls themselves a Christian buys into those predictions and has nothing to say about it.
Absolutely. I mean, there is often very little understanding of apocalyptic literature, little understanding how apocalyptic books have been interpreted, how even the millennium and rapture have different understandings according to different scholars in the history of the church. So there is almost a blatant disregard for eschatology, which has a long history in connection with Christianity. But Todd, again, I think it's an apologetic issue because I think things like this make Christianity look really bad.
So let's begin back with, according to Chris McCann himself, you can't understand the date he set today if we don't understand the date set by Harold Camping. I think it was the third of several dates set by Harold Camping before he died in 2011. How would you explain that to us?
Yeah, Harold Camping, who, by the way, was for a long time a Bible teacher in the Christian Reformed tradition, a reasonable guy, then went off the deep end, started his own radio station and ministry. Camping made two failed predictions, one in 1994 and then two in 2011. And what McCann here has seemingly done with the eBible Fellowship, and again, you can just punch that into the internet and you can go on their site, but apparently the idea was that the May 21st, 2011 date that Camping had brought attention to was the beginning of some kind of judgment day where God was going to begin to look at the destiny of non-churched people. And then there is this calculation. Again, you can go on the web, and there's a several-page explanation called the McCann explanation. And if you do the right numerical calculations, it brings you to Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. Todd, I can't tell you how similar that is to William Miller, to Ellen White, and to Harold Camping.
So there's a method here that I'd like you to address for a second, if you could, Ken. Now, that is a prediction is made based upon some kind of interpretation of Bible verses along with, as you say, kind of sometimes complex mathematical calculation. And then it doesn't happen, but the day is not abandoned. That's the strange thing here. And I think that's a common thread running through all those that you mentioned before. The day itself that was predicted is not abandoned. It's just redefined. It comes to stand for something other than the end of the world, as in the case of so many of these, some sort of invisible judgment or evaluation that God is carrying out of mankind. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me take you back to the William Miller movement. Again, Miller's failed date was seen by the primitive Adventists, and I might add that when the Adventists emerged, they were definitely cultic. They were anti-Trinitarian. They had an Arian Christology. Interestingly enough, Ellen White, with a Methodist background, probably moved Adventism a little bit closer toward Orthodoxy, but her husband, James White, was a dedicated Arian. Well, they took that date, that failed date of William Miller, and said that there was an invisible return, an investigative judgment. Rather than a literal physical event, it was a spiritual event. And it sounds like that McCann has taken the camping date and said something similar to that. There was a real significance May 21st, but it was, again, looking at non-church members, and then that would lead you to a particular date, October 7th. Now, another interesting element, though, Todd, is, I'm quoting McCann, he says, there's a strong likelihood that this will happen. This is October 7th today, McCann said, although he did leave some room for error, quote, which means there's an unlikely possibility that it will not. I mean, I just find this really strange, like very casual. Well, we think the world is going to end on this particular date. There is some possibility that it won't, but there's no discussion about, and what should people think of eBible Fellowship on October 8th? What should people think about Christian teachers who make predictions like this that leave egg on everybody's face? I think that, and of course there is a strong ignoring of very clear passages. Matthew 24:44, Jesus says, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So this is going to be an event in which it may catch people by surprise. Mark 13:32, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. Wow, I mean, why aren't those passages factored in? Why don't we realize that even Jesus, through his human nature, says, I don't know the time of that coming, and it is seen as an event that will take the world by surprise, and all of these false predictions. Let me make a prediction, Todd. Since all of these predictions of the past have been false, the next one will probably likely also be false. I think we should develop a much more skeptical attitude rather than just kind of taking in what a lot of these so-called Bible prophecy experts have to say.
Ken Samples is our guest. We're talking about a prediction made by eBible Fellowship Chris McCann that the world would end today. It has some historical roots, whether McCann is aware of it or not. We'll talk a little bit more about them on the other side of the break. About another 10 minutes with Ken Samples, senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, and author of the book Christian Endgame, Careful Thinking About the End Times.
Beautiful friend, this is the end, my only friend, the end.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. click the Concordia University online logo, and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. ISSUESETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ken Samples is our guest. We're talking about a prediction made by E-Bible Fellowship's Chris McCann that the world would end today. It's Wednesday, October the 7th, and it hasn't yet. I did notice you mentioned something before the break, Ken, that there was kind of a hedging in McCann's prediction. He talked about it being a very likely thing that the world would end. There was a small possibility it wouldn't. And I wonder, you know, how does that kind of hedging of bets function here in end times predictions?
Well, it's an interesting kind of approach to it. I mean, you saw Camping do it. Camping made two predictions in 2011 and came out after the first one and said, well, you know, we had to make some adjustments here. There were certain things we didn't quite get right. When I think about that, I mean, I think, well, look, you've made this prediction, and now you've let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. I don't know what that does to anybody's credibility when it comes to be wrong. I mean, what I advocate in Christian Endgame is that Christians get out of the business of predicting things. Wouldn't it be a lot more appropriate, maybe, to study about what the Bible says about the second coming, or what about the great events that follow the second coming, or what about what I call mere Christian eschatology? That is what all Christians hold. The Creed talks about the return of Jesus. So I think that this is a bad business to be in. And unfortunately, Todd, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of good lessons being learned. It just seems that somebody picks up the same track and they'll make another prediction.
Okay. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the appeal here. We talked before kind of the Bible teachers wanting to do this, whether it's for notoriety or whatever reasons. I think often they're well-intentioned. They sincerely believe their own calculations. But what is the appeal with their followers to have a date set, and then even when that date fails, to continue to listen, as you say, to E-Bible Fellowship or to Harold Camping, and to stick with these teachers when they've obviously made failed predictions?
Well, I suspect that for some of them, Todd, they're looking at world events. They're looking at maybe some of the great crises that are taking place or have taken place in the past, and the Bible teacher, and again, I could mention many evangelical names, and some of them are really well known who have made specific predictions. I suspect that they're teaching their flock, they're kind of encouraging them that, yeah, things look pretty bad right now, but, you know, the Lord is going to come. And so I think in some sense, people really tie into that, and I suspect maybe the setting of a date maybe gives them a sense of urgency to get the word out, get the message out. But Todd, some major evangelicals in the 1980s predicted dates about the second coming, and I don't see any particular harm in terms of their ministry. People continue to go to their churches, continue to buy their books. I don't know why we don't have a firmer sense that these things are we shouldn't use this as a guessing game, and that often, Todd, you only have so much credibility with non-Christians. You don't want to throw that away by making predictions about end time.
So how should Christians rightly anticipate the return of Christ, Judgment Day, the resurrection, all those things that we confess in the creed that you mentioned before, and rightly communicate that to people who are skeptical and say, look, I do believe that Christ is returning. I can't set a date, but here is my hope. This is the hope that I have based upon the promises of Scripture.
That's a great question. Todd, I think that really is something that could be focused on, that should be focused on. And I think that we can talk about the already not yet. We can talk about Christ has already come, and we live in the context of waiting the blessed hope, and how hopeful and purposeful and meaningful that is. I think we can also talk about the need to be salt and life, salt and light on this earth, to live lives of godliness and holiness, and to celebrate the gospel. I think it should motivate us to action. I know a lot of these people are sincere. I'm sure many of them would like to see people come to Christ. But I think we can be motivated to reach the world for Christ without coming up with this kind of carnival games about the end times. Rather, I think we should do all our part to complete the Great Commission. But I find the Second Coming, and I find Christian eschatology to give me motivation and to give me hope and to give me a sense of rest and assurance that the day of the Lord is in His hand, and I'm going to live every day seeking to submit my life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't this really how Christians have, since the time of the apostles and the promise of Christ's return at His ascension, isn't this how Christians have constantly lived, without setting dates, as you have said, completely forsook any kind of attempts to make calculations, but hoping and anticipating that they will live to see the return of Christ?
Absolutely. I think of the book of Titus, talks about the blessed hope that ties it to the gospel of grace, that we are saved by grace, we're saved by God's love for us through the cross. We anticipate that great coming, but we don't set dates. We realize that this is in the hands of the sovereign God. And Christians have lived through very difficult periods. I mean, being a Christian in the first century was not a particularly safe time to be living. And there have been many times in church history in which the church was under assault that looked like that Christianity was not moving forward like it would or should. But absolutely, that's the way Christians have lived, and I think Christians need to be very responsible when it comes to interpreting apocalyptic books, looking at prophecy, and I think that teachers in the church should teach their people about these mistakes and teach the varying views, and then they can give their arguments for their particular point of view.
Ken, to me, one of the biggest dangers of either making predictions or buying into the predictions, it's often based upon just a simple reaction to the world around us. We think, well, it's getting so much worse than it used to be. It can't get worse than this. Christ must come soon. And to me, that impulse for setting or believing in a date that's been set is exactly the opposite of how Christians ought to anticipate things, especially, and prepare to face perhaps real persecution in a world where we find ourselves increasingly under the world's hostility. What are your thoughts?
Yes, my parents were of the greatest generation. My father was a combat soldier in World War II. My parents used to tell me that in an evangelical church that they taught, of course it's Hitler is the Antichrist, or Mussolini, or now it's Stalin. And you know, I think my parents had every right to think, wow, there's a world war taking place, there's the Holocaust, but still the end did not yet come. And I think we have to be very careful about interpreting the Bible through events that seemingly are taking place. And I think we see that with the blood moons. We see that over and over again. And I don't think we do ourselves a lot of good in terms of credibility by following a risky and reckless eschatology.
Ken Samples, a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He is author of the book Christian Endgame, Careful Thinking About the End Times. You can purchase this book and find a link to Reasons to Believe at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ken, thank you for your time.
Pleasure to be with you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to go straight into part six of our weekly series on Christian apologetics with Dr. John Warrett Montgomery, distinguished research professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. The subject for part six will be a counterclaim that there are, in fact, many ways to God. Dr. Montgomery will take that one up after this.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.